Hello, and welcome back to 10-4. My name is Brian Keller, and this week's episode is another look at Team Foundation Server 2010. One of our goals for Team Foundation Server 2010 is what we refer to as No More Planning Black Box. So if you use Team Foundation Server 2005 or Team Foundation Server 2008 today, then you're familiar with its capabilities for tracking work through the system. So it's really good at tracking work. So you can create what's called a work item. The work item might be a bug that someone needs to fix. It might be a user story that you need to implement. It might be a requirement. It's anything that can have a state. So it's open, it's resolved, it's closed. It can have an assignment. So it's assigned to myself or my developer. And it's something that moves through a workflow. And then you can report against these work items and figure out how you're doing relative to the plan and really track the work that you've got in the system. The problem with Team Foundation Server today is that it's not really a great tool for planning your work. So when it comes time to figure out who's going to do what or how much work your team needs to do, you can gain some historical context by looking at some previous iterations and figuring out, for example, what your team's velocity was, but it really doesn't help you go to the level of figuring out who's going to do what and what capacity an individual has and what the impact of vacations are on something. Or another common complaint is that it doesn't help you break down work. So, for example, you can't have a hierarchy in Team Foundation Server today so that you can take a task that might be pretty large and break it down into subtasks and then be able to report against the larger task. So one of the things that we're trying to do is solve this with Team Foundation Server 2010. And so we want to achieve this no more planning black box scenario. So one of the things that we've done is really implemented from the ground up this hierarchy of work items. So you get top to bottom and bottom to top traceability. You can take your work and you can break it down into more manageable tasks. We have agile planning tools that ship with Team Foundation Server 2010. So you can conduct your planning using either Excel or using Microsoft Project Client. And we've also improved the integration with Project Client and with Excel. So even if you use those tools today to interact with Team Foundation Server 2010, I think you're really going to like what you see in the product now. Really, my slides don't really do much justice, so let's jump into a demo so you can see exactly what I'm talking about here. So to start with, let's go ahead and open up the Visual Studio 2010 Community Technology Preview we've been using, and we'll open up the Dinner Now project, and we'll open up the Open Work Items query. And so this returns a list of work items. So you can see I've got a lot of work items that are either set to active or resolved. But the problem is that's a flat list of work items. So to really illustrate the hierarchy, I'm going to edit this query, and I'm going to change it to either a work item in direct links or a tree of work items. And then if I run that query now, then what you'll see is that this becomes a hierarchy. So if I scroll down, you'll see that some of these work items here are child work items of their parents. So for example, you might have a user story that has multiple tasks that a developer needs to complete in order to implement that user story. And as you can see, I can just drag and drop these work items around, and they'll automatically become collapsed into their appropriate hierarchy. And so you can see here that the bolded items represent changes that need to be saved back to Team Foundation Server. So at this point, I'm working with the items. They may not be saved back just yet, but that gives me an opportunity to change things if I messed up. Another thing I can do is I can create a new child task straight from here. So here you can see that I'm creating a new child task. I gave it a name, I created a task, and once I save this, then this will be populated right back into that list of work items that I was working on. Now, the other thing we wanted to enable was really a first-class experience for working with hierarchical work items from Microsoft Excel. So what I can do here is I can select the work items in this list, and I can choose to open those in Microsoft Excel. Now, this will spin up a new workbook, and it will attach this workbook to Team Foundation Server so that I can work with this same list of work items over in Excel. Now, this is really nice if you're doing bulk editing, for example. I can go in and easily modify the value of a lot of work items at the same time, or if I just prefer to work in Excel as opposed to working in Team Explorer all the time. And so what you'll see here is that the way that we've represented the hierarchy is by having multiple columns that correspond to the level that a work item has in the hierarchy. So you can see here, anything that falls under Title 1 is at the top level of the hierarchy. Anything that's under Title 2 is at the next level down. So you can see that everything in rows 15 through 19 is a child of what's in row 14. I can also add a new child here, and this gives me the opportunity to give a title over in Title 3. So now this is going to be a new child of the work item that's in row 16. So I can just fill this out, and we'll fill out the other values that make up this work item. So we'll set it to active, we'll assign it to TFS setup, and we'll call it a task. And now at this point, all I need to do is click publish. And what this does is it takes all the changes that I just made to Excel and publishes those back to Team Foundation Server. So as you can see, really easy to work with my hierarchy, whether it's within Team Explorer or within Microsoft Excel. And now you can refresh, and you can see there's the new work item that I just created. Now that's great if you use Microsoft Excel, but some of you might prefer to use Microsoft Project, which is fine. And so what I can do is I can also take work items and I can open those up in Microsoft Project. So we'll just take three work items that we're working with. And this will launch Project. Now if you see this dialog in the CTP VPC, you can just dismiss it. So now I have my three work items that I was working with, and you can see that they're already laid out in my project plan. And so we have content complete, content correctly branded, and old site redirected. So the first thing I'll do is I'll go ahead and assign some relative durations for these, and you can see that these get reflected over on the right-hand side to reflect the length of each one of these tasks. And then the next thing I might want to do is define some predecessors. So for example, before the content can be completed, we would assume that the content has to be branded correctly. Likewise, before we can redirect the old site, we would have to make sure that the content is complete because we don't want to redirect the old site before that's done. Now, what you can see is that automatically gets reflected over on the project plan, and then I click refresh, and if I look at one of these work items, then what you'll see is that it's now saved that predecessor and successor information into the work item. So likewise, if I take a look at the history of this work item, for example, you can see that that was saved. Now that's significant because in Team Foundation Server 2005 and 2008, you had to track that information separately because Team Foundation Server didn't understand the hierarchy, so it didn't understand the successor and predecessor relationships. But now that we've got that baked into Team Foundation Server and it understands that hierarchy, we can take the full fidelity of your Microsoft Project plan and publish that straight to Team Foundation Server. So it's going to be a really nice way to help you plan and generate your project plan straight from Microsoft Project, or as we saw, from Microsoft Excel. So the one last demo that I'll show you today is how you might go about planning your iteration. So if I open up this team query for iteration 2, you'll see my iteration backlog. So these are all the tasks that I'm going to try to do during iteration 2. So this is nice. You can see that it has assignments to the individuals already. So I've gone in and decided who I want to work on these items. But I don't really have a good understanding right now of what the capacity is. Are we biting off too much? Is an individual overloaded with too much work? And currently in Team Foundation Server 2008, there's not really an easy way to do that. But as you can see here, we ship a workbook that can help you do iteration backlog planning. So we'll just open this up and it will launch in Microsoft Excel. And you can see that I get the same list of work items I was just looking at momentarily. And it has the same assignments. And we can just click on Edit Workbook. And we want to enable macros. This is what gives it the ability to talk back to Team Foundation Server. And we'll come to this Capacity Planning tab. And in the Capacity Planning tab, we first want to tell the workbook that we're planning iteration 2. And we'll give the start and the end dates. So for this VPC, it's stuck in the past, so we'll tell it that we're planning for the month of October here, which is fine, and that we have three team members. So the next question we have to ask ourselves is, what is our historical capacity? What have we been able to achieve in the past to give us an idea of how much work we can, as a team, accomplish for the next iteration? And so one way to do that is to fill out this historical data set of text boxes. And we'll tell it that we want to look at iteration 1, which happened in September. And in September, we actually had more people working on the project. So we'll tell it that there were 5 people working on the project in September, and then that calculates my expected capacity. So you can see that I have 23 expected work days, and because I have fewer people, we only have 512 expected capacity hours for this given iteration. And so if we come down to the holidays, you can see where we can actually designate that maybe there's a certain day that the team's not going to work. And so that's pretty common. So, you know, 10-4 celebration day, everyone knows that happens on October 15th. And so we'll fill that out here. And now we can say which people are going to be working on this project. So we'll just select those. And each one of the people on my project, let's say that they work 8 hours per day. So that's fine. And if we scroll over right away, we can see that the current allocations are good because no one's over-allocated at this point. In fact, we could probably find some more work for some people to do. But Billie Jo just came to me and she said that she's going to go on vacation. And so now this changes my entire plan because she's going on vacation and this means she's not going to have as much time to work in this iteration. So no problem, we'll just go in here and designate that she's going on vacation. And she's going to be gone for most of October, which is fine. And so you can see 13 days in the iteration are no longer available as working days for her. And now she's over-allocated. She doesn't have enough capacity while she's in the office to complete all of her work. But that's not a problem. We'll just go back to our list of work items, and we'll choose somebody else to pick up some of her work. So maybe for this particular task, we want to assign it to Terry, and for another one of Billie Jo's tasks, we'll assign it to Jean-Philippe, and we'll come back to capacity planning. We're just about there. It looks like she's still a little bit overloaded. No problem. We'll come back and find another one of her tasks. And as you can see, you can work very quickly here to rebalance and reallocate work. So it's all captured in Excel. There's some other things you could do behind the scenes if you wanted to make more complex algorithms or more complex charts to help you really plan your capacity. But we give you all these templates out of the box, which make it pretty easy for you to just in an agile manner decide who's going to work on what and how much work you want to take on. So I'll just publish this work back to Team Foundation server, and it's now going to reflect those new assignments in the tasks. And if I refresh this data, then you'll see that some of these work items have new owners. So that's Team Foundation server 2010 iteration planning. Another nice thing while we're in here is to take a look at some of the document templates that we ship with Team Foundation Server 2010. So if I open up the Samples and Templates node, you'll see a number of documents that you might find useful. Now this isn't a huge feature, but it's something that's kind of nice when you're planning your projects. If you take a look at the Persona tab, for example, you can see that we give you a sample document for creating your personas, so the people, the customer, describing the types of customers that might use your application. We also give you iteration retrospective documents. So when you're going back and conducting your retrospectives, you might want to use these documents as a starting point. This is also where you would find the iteration backlog planning workbook that we just used in the previous step. So again, not a major feature, but it's kind of just another thing that we ship to help you plan your projects and keep them on track. So as you can see, Team Foundation Server 2010 holds a lot in store to help you plan your projects. In future episodes of 10.4, I'll show you how Visual Studio Team System can be used to help you really make sure that your projects are tracking well over compared with your plan, help you understand how some of the new reporting mechanisms can help you really get a real-time glimpse into how you're doing and what things you might want to change on your project, and also help you really align your project with other stakeholders as well, be it customers or just people internal to your organization that might want to see what you're working on. So that's it for this episode of 10.4. Be sure to check out channel9.msdn.com/shows/10-4 for more episodes, and we'll see you next week.